We're joined now by Pat Gribben and Terry Sharp from The Adventures. Yeah, I want to talk about the second album, but first here's a wee taster of a couple of the tracks on it, and some of these you'll know. Right, Adventures, a couple of snippets there from Sea of Love, and they're here. Pat and Terry, how you doing?
Someone has stolen Johnny Hero's pen. And no one's leaving this studio until the culprit has been found.
That's my nice pen there. I want you to sign these things. Right, okay, you see, okay. I've known you for all this length of time, and I've never got your autographs.
I've never got yours,
and people shout at me, but I've bought new copies of these albums. Bought a vinyl. I'll tell people how this started. As part of Belfast Music Week, and there are hundreds of gigs happening, there are lunchtime listening sessions, classic Northern Ireland albums happening in the Black Box Cafe. Admission is free. Today, David O'Reilly played Casanova by Divine Comedy. Tomorrow, I'm doing The Adventures, Sea of Love. 12:30, come along, it's free in. On Wednesday, Morris J has chosen The Undertones' Hypnotized, right? And then on Thursday, Ralph McLean has chosen Van der Man's Astral Weeks. Now, for yourselves, I wanted Sea of Love. I was torn between Theodore and Friends and this one. Do you have a particular favourite? You're going to say Lions and Tigers and Bears or something now, aren't you, for badness?
It's always the next one's your favourite. But no, I like both those records. I think the first one's got a real innocence about it, Theodore. Mm. The second one is obviously more polished and has the song that we're most known for. I wouldn't have a particular favourite, no, not really.
This one, I think, The Sea of Love, seems more like an album because we went away to do it, didn't we? Mm. We did it more or less in one kind of sitting. We went down to a studio down called Parkgates, down in Hastings, just right on
during
the
side. During that storm, remember?
Yeah, just right on the side of that. And actually, the bit of the track you played, I had to remember it. Because on the way down, I was trying to remember some little stories about recording it. And we did, I think, that weekend of that big storm, didn't we try to record?
Was this the big storm of 87?
Yeah.
When Michael Feist famously said there's nothing to worry about.
We were in a really wooded area and like a ridiculous amount of the trees came down. We couldn't actually get back to the place. And the room Spud was staying in the house, a tree went right through it.
Serious?
But we were away that we were. Yeah. He'd gone up to London that weekend.
So
how long did it? Was this one of those you could sort of you're in a studio and you stay there for a couple of weeks kind of thing?
Yeah, it was to do that. Yeah, we were. It was right on the site.
Actually,
it was right on the site of the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah.
We were actually in Battle. There was a place called Battle.
Yeah,
that's where we stayed.
Right.
Went along the field.
I didn't think that would be a sort of a music recording hub. Was it a well-known studio?
In those days, those sort of things were. Well, there was a few like that. Well, you just went to one as well.
Yeah, there was the manor in Oxfordshire. I think the idea is that
the residential.
It's that you go to somewhere that's out of town, that's out of London, and there aren't any distractions. So that's when you say that it wasn't a musical.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, out of focus, basically.
Yeah, I suppose a producer wants you in and wants you there, and you know,
you better
be focused here.
Yeah, it's easy to find somebody at sort of 3 o'clock in the afternoon if everyone's in the same place. You know,
yeah. And so, how long was it spent recording this?
Well, the thing about this album is we actually began doing tracks when we were signed to Chrysalis. In fact, Broken Land, and what else? Tell another track that we've done. I think.
I've got it right here in front of me.
A few of them.
One Step from Heaven, certainly we started that.
Oh, yeah. We're doing those with a guy called Gary Bell. And in the middle of the whole thing, Elektra came along and bought our contract out from Chrysalis Records. Yeah. So then they wanted to redo the whole thing, but we really liked what we'd done on Broken Land, particularly recording-wise. Yeah. So we sort of just we remixed it. I don't know, did you do any more overdubs on it?
We tried. I remember one of the things about Broken Land is we tried to do the first line again, and we couldn't get it right.
Really?
So we just kept it from the original thing, you know. So
but all the Irish stuff was done with Gary Bell.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, what I love about this album, and I sat today and listened to it in its entirety for the first time in a long time, it's just a great album. And some of the vocal effects, the overdubs and everything else, it's almost like vocal orchestrations are terrific.
This was, I think this was Brian Kennedy's.
Well, Brian came down and did BVs on this record.
Was Brian Kennedy on this as well then?
He did some BVs on it. And I remember when we were trying to do this big choral thing, I can't remember what track it was on, but we kept having to tell Brian, further back, Brian, further back. And like, I'm talking 20 people. Brian ended up like, you know, 30 yards away, and you can still hear him.
He sent it back to London, and he was still singing on the tube.
Like, Dale, too loud, man. You know that thing?
Yeah.
And but he's on there.
That's his first credit, I think.
But again, I was listening to it. It's the subtleties in the background that you think. And I was thinking myself again. This is a technical head thinking. I wonder how many goes they had at that. Many wee bits and pieces.
Maybe three.
It sounds like a real painstaking, you know, process.
I think because I was thinking this as well, because it was with a new label, it was with Elektra, and we'd kind of, you know, we wanted to get this one right, you know, insofar as you can know what is right at a particular time. I think so. We were with the recording, and with the mixes. I think we did focus quite a lot.
I want to put this in perspective for people. You were signed by Elektra. Their other two signings up until then had been Brian Ferry and Simply Red. And then,
well, Elektra are a very famous American label.
Yeah, but I mean, around about that time, that's who they signed. They signed Brian Ferry and his whole back catalogue. Signed him for future albums, and they signed Simply Red, and then The Adventures. That was that year they went headhunting. So you were in exalted company, I suppose.
Well, it was a guy called Mitchell Krasnow, who's the son of Bob Krasnow, who he's the founder of the label, is that right?
I guess, yeah, he was, yeah.
And he'd sent his son to London to sort out a London division of Elektra Records, and I think we may have been the first act he signed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we were.
There's again, the inevitable questions when we mention The Adventures, there's a few people in touch. Are you doing any more gigs? I know you've done sort of various wee one-offs.
Well, there's nothing planned at the moment, but I would never say never, you know.
Yeah. You did a couple a few years ago, and the response was fantastic. You know, were you never tempted to get it sort of back?
I think they were both started off as charity things.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a tsunami appeal at the Ulster Hall?
There was a tsunami appeal, and there was also a thing we did for, it was for an AIDS hospice, wasn't it, in Africa somewhere? So it was
Liam Cray's brother.
That's right.
I was out there. That was in the Empire.
That's right. Okay, yeah. So there were good reason to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you never know. We could maybe do another one.
We like to keep.
And people always ask, why is there not an Adventure's Greatest Hits you can go and buy?
Licensing problems.
I think
because
it's a shame.
Overall, we had. Although I mean, there are only three major labels now. So, but it's the licensing problem would be difficult. Because as I say, we were on three different labels, so that might you know, if we were just on one label, I'm sure someone would have done a best of.
Yeah, but can the individual songs be accessed on iTunes and that? You know,
oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you've never checked it out.
No.
Do you still get royalty checks?
Yes.
Right. I'm not.
No, of course.
I'm not praying, you know.
That happens. Yeah, that'll always happen. But
John's now doing part-time work at the Inland Revenue.
that's always going to happen.
I just wonder, because I like to think that you wrote these songs all these years ago. They're still out there, and when you go on the internet, there are fans all over the world.
Oh yeah.
So I'm just wondering, is it enough for money to keep trickling in?
Oh,
you
absolutely.
Know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No, just wondered about it. By the way, One Step from Heaven, and I remember at the time, big source of pride for, and you, this is probably lost on you, you wouldn't know, on the FA Cup that year, You know, the FA Cup was shown and the match was over and everything else. And then they did a like a roundup of snippets, you know, from there's the goal scorer and there's a referee sending someone off and there's this and there's that. And at the very end of this whole snippet of images from that day's FA Cup, when the team were going up at Wembley, up the steps to collect their trophies and all, you know, they played one step from heaven.
That's right, it was Wimbledon.
Was it? Yes, I knew it was an underdog. Yeah. But they used one step from heaven, and I remember going, yes, that's the adventures, you know. So you had fans in TV world as well.
There you go.
If it had been Tottenham, I'd still be dining out on it. You know? But it wasn't. It was only blinking Wimbledon.
Yeah. So I'm doing the classic playback tomorrow. That'll be interesting. You know, I'm looking forward to that. As I say, it's the first time I listened to it whole way through was today. It's still a great album. Do you sit and listen to the things yourselves, or is it like that's them?
It's kind of the only time I would listen to it, would be if we were doing another show.
Yeah,
you know, to try to
learn the lyrics.
To try to learn the lyrics, which I didn't learn in the first place. I always had them stopped. Like I say, when you listen, you know, to records that you make yourself, you don't really remember it. Think about it in a kind of fans way, or listen to the song. You just listen to the kind of, oh yeah, it took him ages to get that drum sound, or yeah, it took me ages to get
that snare drum.
Do you know what I mean?
We were in the studio about 3 days, and he was still hitting a snare drum.
Are you kidding me?
Honest to God, ridiculous.
Yeah. But is it spoiled for you then? You can't listen to it as a music lover.
No.
You're listening for the wee bits.
I mean, there are parts of it I'm very proud of. Other parts I find, oh God, if only we'd worked a bit harder on that, we could have nailed it, you know. Some of it I love, some of it terrifies me.
Well, listen, I'm going to play a track. Do you want to? I don't want to play Sail Over Broken Land, because we play those quite often. You want to pick one for me?
My favourite track on this album is Heaven Knows. That would be my favourite track. I don't know about Tara.
Okay. We'll go with that one.
We'll go with Heaven. I don't want a whole band fight starting here, you know.
That'll start. Don't you worry about that.
Terry, Pat, listen, thanks for coming in. Really appreciate it.
John, I just have to mention my daughter, Amy, before we go.
Yeah?
Tell her she's a melter.
She's a melter?
Yeah.
Right, Amy, you're a melter.
A family really started never being a band. I'm not afraid to die.
Yeah, The Adventures, another track from The Sea of Love, and I'll be talking about that tomorrow as part of Belfast Music Week. The Black Box, 12:30. Come along, bring your sandwiches. It's free in.